welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a counselor and coach, husband, father, and grandfather, as well as the best-selling author of Raising Responsible Adults and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
Hey, thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living Center. We're going to the heart of the matter today. You know, when we look back on, 20-plus years of ministry, it began focusing on what it means to be a parent through our Parent Talk ministry. And one of the topics that we've talked about over the years is the importance of parenting up, understanding that God's intention for us is to have a backbone, to have a plan of action, to know what our purpose is as a parent and our plan, but then to power down. So often when we don't have a plan, we replace it with power, and power is what our kids suck from us. And so I share with you, if you have a powerful son or daughter, they probably got it from you or your spouse or both of you. So today we're going to talk about parenting up and powering down. As it says in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. There's another passage in Ecclesiastes that says the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. So if you have a powerful son or daughter, they may be just a priest, they may be young, or they may be a school age or even an adult son or daughter. How can you parent up and power down? We're going to talk about that today. By the way, we have a very powerful pack of information available. We call it the Faith Builder Pack. That includes a My Daily Walk devotional, a 101 Things That You Can Do to Build Faith, a book, and a 3-CD set, including Finding God's Will from Belief to Behavior, and also Is There Enough Evidence to Convict You? It's a series of very practical topics to build your faith, and it's available through our resource center, our bookstore here at Intentional Living. Just come to TheIntentionalLife.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can be an intentional parent. Why do kids throw power tantrums or temper tantrums? There's a kid who wants a treat at the store. Mom or dad says very matter-of-factly, "No, honey, we're not going to have that." The kid throws himself on the floor and begins to kick and scream and carry on. What's a parent to do? My advice, step over the child. There's a great temptation to step on the child. But if you step over the child and start walking away, guess what? The kid's going to what? He's going to get up. He's going to come after you. He's not going to make a fool out of himself in front of strangers. This gets back to what I call purposive behavior. The power tantrum serves a purpose in a kid's life. And if you give in to him, you're teaching that kid that power is important. If you want to rear a powerful little buzzard, that's how you do it. But in stepping over the child and walking away, notice how this kid has a need to throw the temper tantrum again in front of you. It wouldn't be unexpected for a kid to throw himself down in front of you a second time. He's showing you, by way of his action, that he's an authority over you. Let me pull rank here. What St. Paul says, no, that's not the way it goes. We are in full authority over our children.
Randy Carlson here from the Intentional Living Center. As we go to the phones, Claudia is on the line with a question for me today. I'm parenting. Claudia, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, my question was or is, when faced with a difficult challenge or a trial as a parent, when do you know or when is it appropriate to let your kid know and to let your kid in on it? Because what I've been doing is I've been keeping it from them, what I'm going through. And it's something chronic that I've been dealing with for the past 10 years, and it comes and goes. But I've always kept it from them. And I have a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old. And it just occurred to me that maybe...
Something chronic like illness?
Yeah.
Is it something that causes you to be up and down, or does it have...
It's depression and severe anxiety.
I see. Okay.
And... you know, I'm in the process of being medicated again, which is taking some time, but I'm not letting them know that I'm suffering. That's one thing that I liked when I grew up is coping skills. I didn't learn any coping skills. And so I'm thinking now that by not letting them know about my trial, that maybe they won't learn to cope.
How old are they?
I have a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old.
Okay. Well, obviously a 3-year-old doesn't understand what's going on. A 3-year-old just wants to be fed, clothed, taken care of, and happy. And so that's part of the challenge when a parent has a chronic illness, or which could be depression or it could be physical illness, whatever, or have some other issues going on in their lives. They've just got to suck it up with a 3-year-old. You can't sit down and talk to a 3-year-old about my problems and, you know, mom's going through depression. They don't understand any of that. So obviously you've got to just get the help you can, be strong, make sure you have support for yourself, and be as, you know, intentional as a parent as you can. When you get up into the teen years, that's a different story, and they talk about some of the life challenges that we have. Here's the problem. I know parents who, and I don't hear this in your voice at all, Claudia, but I have seen over the years parents who have a symbiotic relationship with their kids where it's not healthy. They become friends, and, you know, whatever I'm facing, I just tell my kids, and that's too much for kids. Kids need to be in an environment where they can grow and be protected from some of the challenges that adults have to go through to a certain level. At the same time, there's teachable moments. Give an example. When parents are making decisions about finances, bring kids in. Let them be a part of seeing what's happening in a positive way. And this is going to be good. And let's have a budget. And let's work together. How can we make our home a healthier place? Let's talk about that. So as a child gets into the teen years, talking about, hey, you know, mom wrestles from time to time with depression, but I'm getting help and it's going to be okay. In other words, a child needs to know it's secure. There's a sense of security. But we shouldn't use whatever we're going through personally as a basis of having an excuse to allow us to do things we shouldn't do or not to be the parent that our children need to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, but is it okay to pretty much fake it till you make it?
Well, you know, when you talk about faking it until you make it, aren't there a lot of days you have to fake it as a parent? You got to suck it up. You know, you got to do what you got to do. We can't always, you know, have it on our sleeve. But I'm not suggesting that we live in a life where we're going to be phony all the time. I mean, if we're down, we're down. We're struggling. Mom's having a bad day, but God's good and it's going to be okay. You know, that's okay when you talk to a 13-year-old. A 3-year-old could care less. They want to be happy, want to be fed, want to be taken care of. And so obviously there's age appropriate us and sharing, and what the situation is. Here's the problem with children. When you share with a child something the parent's going through, they interpret it differently. They can interpret, is mom going to die? What's going to happen? And they feel very insecure. They can't process things when they're, even at 13, like you do when you're 23. And so there's a balancing act that has to go on. But to answer your question very succinctly, we only share with children things that are going to help them grow and mature, never to be an excuse for our behavior, or in other words, to get it off our chest so we can put it on the child's chest. But at the same time, we don't want our children to grow up and be 25 and say, I never knew, Mom, that you were wrestling with something, but I knew there was a problem. And I don't know if that answers your question, Claudia, but I think as close as I can get, this parenting thing of how open we are with our children is always from the basis of what's in their best interest, what's going to help them grow up and become a responsible adult and help us to have a good relationship. Never in a way that just gets it off my chest so I feel better.
I am a screamer. I have to admit, nothing that I'm proud of. What is it? They don't respond to me until I start screaming.
If I'm running late and he throws a fit or he doesn't want to get dressed, I find myself getting frustrated with him very easily. I need to really do something because I feel really bad when I yell at him.
On and off, my husband and I were good some days, and some days we fail and we start screaming again.
Like if we're in public, I won't yell at the children. I kind of just save it and let it just keep building up. And then once we get in the car, once we get home, I just start yelling. And by that point, you know, they don't even know what they did wrong.
Dr. Randy Carlson here from the Intentional Living Center for your life, for your family life, and today for you as a parent or grandparent. And we've got Lee on the line with a question for me today. Hi, Lee. Welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Randy Carlson. When my children were young, I had to call you in reference to when they would fight over what to wear, and just took care of it perfectly. It solved the problem. And now I've got grandchildren.
Ah.
And thank God for Dr. Randy Carlson. Call him and let's solve this problem.
We'll see. We'll see how this goes, okay?
Okay. I've got three grandchildren. Uh-huh. I visit them, and there's constant yelling at each other. And the mom yells, too. And I'm trying to, and my daughter, I'm trying to tell her, they imitate you. Just watch them. And mm-hmm. I have trouble getting them to do their chores. They say, why me? It's not fair. Why doesn't she do it? I didn't throw it.
It's all diversionary tactics for kids. They can get off topic and get the parents all engaged in arguing and yelling and all the stuff that goes on that's nonsense. And we get off of the point, which is, hey, we need to clean the room. We need to be cooperative. We need to get things done. Now, how old are the kids, Lee?
One is going to be 13.
Okay.
And the other one is 11.
Mm-hmm.
Youngest one is 9.
All right. And is the home a pretty peaceful place overall, or is there a lot of other disruption going on in the family?
It's pretty peaceful. It's normally amongst them.
Okay.
Comes to discipline as to pick up your things or clean your room.
And she reminds them over and over, and then eventually she ends up yelling.
Yes.
Well, Lee, you've been down the trail, and you've solved some problems yourself, and you see it from a grandparenting perspective, and I'd say to all parents and grandparents, we choose what kind of a home we want to have, what kind of an environment we want to have. Our kids don't. Yes, our kids certainly contribute to it, but ultimately we decide if this is going to be a home where there's going to be a lot of love, a lot of fun, there's going to be a lot of nurture. These are things that we need to have in our home. Our home can't always be serious, problem-solving, you know, conflicts, because that kind of feeds on itself. However, there are times when kids start fighting with each other, and we know that when kids fight, what they're doing together is it's a together thing. I mean, it's like a team sport. See if we can team up. They don't think of it this way, but it's a team sport against mom and against the home and against each other, and it's missing the whole point of how a home should be. So, bottom line, Grandma, this is what's got to happen, Lee. Your daughter, who's got to take responsibility, you can't, and you've got to come to her and just simply say, I love you, honey. There's a better way of doing this. I think you can bring more peace into your home. Here, I want to hand you something from Intentional Living called Raising a Responsible Adult. In here is some stuff that will help you think about how to use logical and natural consequences, how to be intentional in raising your kids so you never have to yell again. And it's for you, and I hope it helps. And here it is, because I'm going to send that to you. Steven's going to get your address in a moment, Lee, and we're going to send that to you to give to your daughter. And in that book and in that study, she's going to learn that when it comes to parenting, parents have to be consistent, have to follow through, don't yell, don't remind, stick to your guns, be consistent, make it a home where there's a lot of love and support. Don't get dragged into the kind of disagreements that go on between a 13, and 11, and 9-year-old when they're bickering and fighting at each other, disciplining all of them, separating them, putting them to their rooms or whatever. But whenever a parent starts to jump in and become the fourth, in this case, the fourth child, and in the fighting and in the arguing, they lose. And that's one of the principles that we teach here at Intentional Living. So does that help, Lee?
Yes.
Now, remember, you can't fix it, but you can love your daughter, and you can give her a resource. So you hang on. We're going to get your address, and we'll send this to you. You get it to her, and you let her know. If she's wrestling, she can call me. I'd be happy to talk to her directly. But ultimately, she's the mom, and your job is to love her and support her.
Thank you.
Okay. Hang on. Steven will get your address, and we'll get that off to you. By the way, that's one of the studies that we have. It's in our store at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Well, today's the last day to get a smoking deal on a bundled resource called the Faith Builders Pack. In this bundle, you'll receive my daily walk devotional, 101 Things for Your Faith, Finding God's Will CD, the From Belief to Behavior CD, and Is There Enough Evidence to Convict You CD. This is the last day you can get it for half price, so go to theintentionallife.com. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Click on resources and click on Intentional Living Center Store. Dr. Andy's got more to help you parent up and power down. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
He had gotten himself in trouble with credit cards. And would we mind paying his monthly payment on his car for the next several months? And to my surprise, my husband says, well, sure, we can do that for you.
This father's intentional one thing helped his son learn a valuable life lesson.
His dad says, we will drive up this weekend and pick your car up. So he had to ride his bike in the middle of winter from campus all the way over to the mall. He ended up getting knocked off his bike into a snowbank, ended up getting pneumonia. I, as a mom, am like, let's take his car back. And my husband held firm and said, nope, he's got to learn about this. Well, today he's an amazing young man. He owns his own optometry practice, and he and his wife are raising wonderful, godly children. And it's because he was held accountable. We took something away, but he manages his money like there's no tomorrow now.
One thing you can do to be an intentional parent is to allow your children to learn from life lessons rather than rescuing and weakening them. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to find purpose and peace and start living intentionally. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
If you've ever struggled keeping the events of the Bible in order, the new Intentional Living One-Year Chronological Bible is a must-have.
Take a fresh look at the Bible by reading it in the order the events actually happened. You can do it in as little as 15 minutes a day, too, using the unique daily reading that splits the Bible up into 365 sections.
Find yourself closer to God than you've ever been. Spend time in His Word every day with the Intentional Word One-Year Chronological Bible. Available now at the online store at theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Hey, thanks, Kurt. Welcome back to our Intentional Living topic today and to this discussion about parenting up and powering down. Appreciate your calls. And you can call and share your story with us at 888-888-1717 or, of course, going to our website anytime at theintentionallife.com. You can get to Facebook through there as well. A lot of discussions going on talking about the power of living intentionally as a parent. Today, we'd love to hear your story, how you're learning to parent up and power down. Let us know as you go to theintentionallife.com. And again, you know, when we think about all the things that we have in life, one of the most powerful things we can do is to raise our kids and our grandkids in a way that's very intentional in honoring Him.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can become an intentional parent. Fighting is an act of cooperation. You know, in the morning when your kids are doing the dog and pony show,
he touched me. He looked at me, Mom. He looked at me.
Now, there's a criminal offense. He looked at me. You know, kids are great at getting us engaged in battle with them. You know, when you fight with your husband, ladies, or you fight with your wives, gentlemen, you know exactly what to say to escalate the battle. Just bringing up your mother-in-law's impending visit might just get the thing going in high gear. What I'm saying is we know exactly what to say to escalate things. We have enough fighting in families. So realize that when you go after each other as husband and wife, or when you fight with your kids, you're cooperating. So step back. Honey, I'm sorry you see that way. No, we're not going to do it. I call it giving your kid vitamin N. Hold your ground, turn your back, and walk away. Yes, sometimes they'll follow you because they want to engage you in battle. But you're the adult here. Stand up and say, by way of your behavior, we're not going there. Will your kids be shocked? Yes. Will they improve? Most probably.
Randy Carlson here from the Intentional Living Center talking parenting today. Kathy's on the line. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How can I help?
What I want for my family is peace. And we have always struggled with our oldest daughter. She just recently turned 16. But since the age of two, there has always been anger and defiance that we've never been able to figure out what the cause of. Taking her to doctors, taking her for therapies, taking her for... The only thing she's ever been diagnosed with was ADHD, and she definitely has that. Every year she's struggled in school since she was a little girl, and now it's to the point where she's she's failing three classes, and she has an IEP, and I fight for her as much as I can with the school and what she can do, what they can accommodate, but now they're not willing to cut back on any of the work at this point. It's just really tough.
Well, I'm sorry. Do you have other children?
Yeah, I have a 14-year-old daughter also and a 10-year-old son, and they're just great kids. She is a great kid, but it is incredibly tough because she gets very agitated and angry and defiant with us.
And you've had her, you say you have had her in and to see a psychologist?
Yes.
Or
yes.
And they
yes.
say
and
that she, what they see is ADHD.
She's one now.
And she's on
yeah.
medication?
She had been, and nothing had been helping. I'm currently looking for a good psychiatrist, and I've run into a lot of brick walls with finding one in our area that will really help her.
So she has the yeah. capacity to modify her behavior with other people, but
right.
she feels the freedom in your home to be so defiant.
Yeah, yeah. So it is. And it wears on all of us real thin.
Yeah.
We've had a rough time Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I feel bad for my other children,
yeah.
you know. So
well,
I try and protect her them from her. And
a couple things, Kathy. I'm going to pray with you in a moment. But, you know, you're wise to pursue additional help, to find somebody that can help you. You know, I'm not a physician, to find somebody that can help you. And I think a couple observations I'd make that you probably have thought about. But for all parents, we always have to be careful. When we get one child within a family, you could have two, three, five children, you get one child that just decides that they're going to control the whole family. For whatever reason, they're controlling the whole family. And then we, quote, feel badly for the other kids. And I know that that's a problem, and it's difficult to get around, but keep that in mind. When we allow one child's behavior to so dominate a home that it drags down everybody. It hurts everybody else in the family, and that's why getting help and treatment is so important. And ultimately, sitting down with your daughter, and if she's struggling with some issues, maybe it's hard for her to even get to a rational discussion with you. But to talk about, honey, you're 16 years old, and in a couple of years, you're going to be on your own. You're going to be 18. You're making decisions on your own. I mean, that's 24, 36 months from now. And what happens between now and then, you know, is going to determine to a great extent how that experience is for you. We can either have a good time or a bad time. It can either be stressful or not so. Is there a way of coming up with some sort of an agreement or contract on how we're going to care for each other and make this home work so it's more peaceful for you and more peaceful for us? Now, obviously, if you have a child who needs treatment and therapy, it might be beyond a general discussion as a family. Sometimes you need to get that outside help to really break this cycle. Because what happens is the more discouraged you get, the more frustrated you get, the less you feel like you are in control of your home, the more that can exacerbate the issue. I would point out, though, Kathy, it's interesting that your daughter, based on what you're saying, she can control how she responds to other people. She can control how she is in other environments. She can control when she's out there in the world.
As far as the defiance and the aggravation, and it all comes out on us.
Well, isn't that the way we typically do it? We always go to those that we love and closest to and feel safest with to put it out there. And I think that's partly the way you handle a child who's going through a tough time. Here's the way I teach. Sometimes we got to be tough. I think we're tough with kids when they're defiant, they're trying to be powerful, they're trying to be in charge, they're being disrespectful. We're a little softer when the kids are hurting, struggling, and sometimes their behavior comes across as being more defiant and so on. And to come alongside of a 16-year-old and say, honey, listen, I hear you. I know it's tough. You struggle getting homework done. I know it's hard for you to keep up. She might compare herself with her siblings, not feeling like she fits in, all of those things. I love you, and I care for you, and I pray for you, and I'm here for you, and we'll get all the help you can. You can do this, a lot of that positive reinforcement. But you are still responsible for how you behave. I'll work with you and do all that we possibly can to help you be successful. But when you choose to be disrespectful back to your parents, then don't expect the privileges. By the way, these are logical consequences. Driving a car when you're 16, because if you can't be respectful to me, how can I expect you to be respectful in a car? How can I expect you to be honest with the times you're coming home and the friends you're with and what you're doing when you show such disrespect here? It's a two-way street. And that's one of the things that a parent can use when a child gets to be this age is say, hey, let's come up with an agreement of how you're going to treat us, how we'll treat you, but we want you to know we love you and we'll be here for you. I promise to pray for you, Kathy. Let me do that because ultimately, as a parent, our hearts go out to you, parent to parent. We know it's tough. Father, I do pray for Kathy, for their children, for everybody involved in this situation. It's hard. There are so many things that can happen in our lives that get us sidetracked from having the kind of family that we thought we would have and the kind of relationship we anticipated. It can be anything from ADHD to depression to crises in a family. These things happen. I just pray that you'll bring peace into this home. You'll bring clarity into the parents' lives. And that you'll remind this young lady today that she is loved. And no matter what she struggles with, she has a purpose and a design to be on this planet. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Kathy. We'll be praying for you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hi. I decided to live intentionally with my daughter, intentionally not getting so frustrated and angry at her. It's been a really rough road with that. And thanks to your program, you guys have helped me a lot. My husband and I are far away from any family. We've been struggling with it, and thanks to your programs every day that I listen to, I've been making a big difference in my life with my daughter and my husband. And thank you, and God bless you all.
Yeah, good for you. And you're doing it. You know, we're just here to cheerlead and encourage you, but you're doing it. You're making the decision to live intentionally, and it's changing your life. And I want to say, you know, we can help that caller and thousands of others because of you all who stand in support. Your members, those who support the ministry every month, thank you. God bless you. Hope you're enjoying the teaching that comes your way every month. If you're not a member, come and join us. We'd love to have you stand with us. We got something really cool to mention between now and Thanksgiving. As we're wrapping up October here. We have a very, very special gift that we want to get into your hands. I'm excited about it. It's called Made to Thrive at Christmas. It's an exclusive collection of Christmas readings, thoughts, scripture, ideas, relationship helps, and many other things, all designed to help you thrive and bring you closer to the reason for the season, as they say. And, you know, the fact is, between now and the end of the year, about 25% of all the support for our ministry that we need for the year will come in. It's a giving time. And so it is our gift to you. Just share the very best financial gift you can with the ministry. For those of you who are members, let us know when you give. You'd like to receive this. We'll get it to you as well. And you'll enjoy it. It's a brand new resource made to thrive at Christmas. So let us know by going online at theintentionallife.com or Made to Thrive at Christmas when you call during regular business hours. Call 888-888-1717, okay? And press number 4 to talk to our staff. Upcoming programs, do you ever feel like you're a teenager and you just don't talk? Talk to me. Communicating with your teen. One of our upcoming topics right here from Intentional Living Center.